welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. Those things we did not get to during the course of the show today. One of the things that happens when you're hearing music is, you know, we're doing different things. Sometimes we're working on the show. Sometimes we're doing other fun things. Betty Rock has been gasping all day in between songs because she's gotten on this thing of watching dash cam videos.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now, is this scaring you to drive?
No, but, well, yes, because I did notice, thankfully, I don't have a long commute going home to and from work, but it definitely makes me think I'm leaving more space between me and the car in front of me, and I am looking both ways. Even though the light is green and I should be able to go, I'm still going to look both ways.
See, this is the thing about, like, my driving, because you always talk about how, like, in business or in life, I'm always looking for all the options of what bad could happen, and then I am prepared for them either way. I do the same thing when I'm driving. I'm very caught. I'm very aware of everyone around me and what they're doing, and I have plans, like, in my head for where to go. I do. Like, I will be sitting there driving. I'm like, oh, that guy's weaving a little bit. Okay, if he goes nuts, I can go this way or I can go that way. Like, yeah. I actually think through it to that level.
But there are some videos that I've seen where people were caught in a wreck because another person didn't use their blinker.
Yeah, that's a problem. I use my blinker when it's necessary.
but it should always be necessary.
It's not always necessary. It's just not.
All it is you
someone
move,
lied
you
to you when they said that.
Flexing your elbow.
Yeah.
Flexing your elbow. Is that going to be too much for you?
It is. Sometimes even putting my seatbelt on is too much for me. I've tried to do that.
That is true. You always talk about being cautious, whatever. He just got through a little rant about that.
Yeah.
This man does not put on his seatbelt.
I always forget. Like, my wife asked
you
me about
forget.
This.
You forget.
I do. Again.
That is not possible. When
it's true.
You can tell me just yesterday during the Aftercast, you could rant off those couples who were on the first episode of 90 Day Fiancé, but you can't remember to put on your seatbelt.
Even my seatbelt. I get in my truck in the morning.
That's crazy.
And I start backing out, and as I get out of my driveway and start going, the beeper on my thing, on my seatbelt alert goes off. Beep, beep, beep. And it beeps all the way up till I get to the stop sign. And then by the stop sign, it stops, and then I go right and I keep going. I seem to ignore it the entire, honest, truthful.
No, I don't believe that. I don't accept it.
Honest,
I don't
truthful.
Care if it's your honest, truthful. I accept it.
Ignore it because I'm thinking of work and I'm already in that headspace. I'm not cognizant of it. And then I'll remember, oh, yeah, that's my seatbelt alarm. Okay, I need to put my seatbelt on. That'll make it go off. And so then I put my seatbelt on. But then sometimes I even, like, go past that and I get halfway to work. I have literally buckled my seatbelt less than maybe 300 yards from work. And then that's why, this is when I'm going to get hit. I'll put my seatbelt on. Like, I've forgotten all the way up to there.
Try and have the argument in court.
Trying to get better at, like, if I ever got a ticket for it, I'd be like, yeah, totally. I forget. And my wife has been like, why don't you just put it on when you start the car? And so I'm trying to get better at that. That's a New Year's resolution. No. I'm like literally going, okay, I need to put my seatbelt on. And be better at that. But do you find yourself watching more of the accidents than the road rage stuff, it seems like?
Yes.
The violence.
Yes.
You don't like
but
that.
I'll watch them. But I have been astonished at, and I think it's mainly in different countries, so not in the U.S., but I wouldn't be surprised if some of it's in the U.S., but people that will get in on a road that's just one direction, and then they stop their car and block you so that you can't get through. And then they get out of their car and they come straight at you with, like, bats and knives and stuff because they're going to carjack you.
Yeah.
And what I love is some of this footage is people not stopping and they just plow straight through that car. And now maybe somebody got injured, but they put themselves in that scenario.
Had they gone to work that day or had they done anything else?
Get a job!
You're not getting hit by this car.
Yes.
You know?
But I have come to find out a lot of problems are, go figure, texting.
Yeah.
Being impatient. So if someone pulls right out in front of you and then goes slow as Christmas.
Drives you nuts.
Yes. Or running a red light. It's just people being pushing the limits. And it, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but there's something about when I see this footage and it involves a Tesla or a Mustang or some kind of car like that.
A confidence-inducing
vehicle. It perturbs me.
Entitled people.
Even more. Yes. Yeah, so you're like, who do you think you are?
I was going to small group last night, and the road I got on, people were flying by me, and I was doing 79, and people were racing in and out of me, and they were going to cause an accident, and I'm going at a good clip, but it wasn't fast enough. Like, yeah, and then all of a sudden, brakes, everyone would jam on their brakes, and then everyone would speed up and fly off, and I'm going to, like, small group, and I'm just like, okay, just be patient. Remember you're going to small group. Don't get mad. But, like, driving gets me really frustrated, because I'm telling my wife, I'm like, look at that guy. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And then my wife, though,
going to go back to this where she doesn't support you.
Yeah, well, she goes, I feel like you're driving really weird. I'm like, oh my gosh. No, wife, I am
driving. So she thinks you're the problem.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like you're driving like sporadic. I'm like, I'm having to speed up and slow down because of these knuckleheads. I'm like just trying to keep us alive on the way to small group here, woman.
Well, you should say if you have a problem, maybe you should drive.
I have actually do that. One time I pulled over.
Good for you. What'd she do?
She didn't drive. One time I'm like, look, and I tried to be calm. I'm like, you know what? I get it. This stresses you out. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna pull over here, and you can drive. And I'm totally fine with it. I'm not even mad. You can drive. It's okay. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to drive. Well, you seem to kind of
want to.
So,
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to take that either.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me.
But I wouldn't be kind about it. I'd be like, listen, okay, I'm done.
Well, I knew I had to be kind because I would have lost that battle. Because in my head, I was like, fine, drive.
You know? Yeah, that's how I would have been.
Yeah. So, and then something else that happened in between the songs today is Betty Rock came into the studio and she just held a plastic spoon in front of me and she's like, taste this. I'm like, okay. And
with all the trust in the world.
Yeah, it was a clear liquid. And I shouldn't, because a lot of times she tries to hose me.
It could be toilet water.
Yeah,
even know.
Exactly. And I'm like, okay, sure, here we go. And it turned out to be simple syrup, which is liquid cane sugar. And she was like, somebody just brought this here. It's great. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I brought it in.
He brought in liquid cane sugar because... ask him how's his diet going.
No,
it's not going well.
It's hard.
But he brought it in so that he wouldn't have to go to Dunkin'. Because honestly, you can't rely on Dunkin'.
Yeah,
you cannot rely on them.
Yeah.
So if they get it wrong, you can try this.
I'm trying to make
sugar.
Something here that tastes like the Dunkin' coffee and gets close to it. I just can't even get it. I made something today and Gavin drank it because I didn't want it.
It's the caramel syrup. You got to get the stuff that they put on the ice cream.
Yeah, I'll try. I mean, I'll try that too. I mean, but I can't put much of it because of the dumb diet thing. Yeah.
And I think we talked about this yesterday, but I'm still cracking up about it. So later today, we're having a lunch meeting.
Mm-hmm.
How
it's
appropriate.
So
and how perfect of timing. So we hadn't even discussed where we were going to go. And yesterday, Wally was like, well, I imagine like once we get out of Chewy's, then we need to do blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Did we talk about Chewy's? Mm-mm. When did we talk about it? He just assumed that's where we were going.
Well, I pitched Chewy's last week, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That was it's
assumed
place.
And it's fine by me. Yeah, it's fine by me. But I do know that I don't know of an option at Chewy's that's low in fat.
Mm-mm.
Well, the salad.
Yeah, but like, I can do that.
That's not an option for
me.
You.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it might as well not be on the menu.
So my
this
option,
one's not kind on the hips.
No, so my option is to
tell you why.
Mitigate the rest of the day. So my option is don't go crazy for breakfast. Have half of the lunch today. It's the I didn't diet. And then have like an Uncrustable for dinner. Like that, like that'll be my dinner.
You're like an adult for lunch,
a kid
for dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever.
No, he's a kid all the way around.
I know.
Yeah, and so.
Let me ask you this, because today we had some weird, issues with people not getting a lot of calls for some of our show. And so those are kind of things that I think upsets all of us or just like throws us off a little bit. Were you having not eaten anything today, correct? Like you haven't taken a bite?
I had some oranges.
Did you feel, that's good, that's good, good work. Is there any amount of did you feel hangry at all this morning or was it just more professional upsetness?
Oh, just upset. I just don't like when things don't work right. Yeah, but nothing. I would, and actually, truth be told, I handled it way calmer than I probably would have normally.
I think that it was I think what you're doing today with the food and the way that you're eating is very good.
Yeah, I don't see a problem huge with this one. I think
it's the way you're going to have to do it because you are very selective with what food you will eat.
Yeah, like I drank that drink that you had me drink today a little bit too.
It was like a green machine.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. Like, I mean, I could drink that if I thought it was going to, like if it would, say I, it's like what is that Naked company or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if you drink this and say it filled you up enough that you didn't eat breakfast or something, okay, fine. But then when Gavin started going through it, it was worse for you than a soda. Mm-hmm. Like, it had more calories and more sugar than a soda has.
Generally, you have to be really careful, even if you go to a place that does smoothies, like Smoothie King or places like that. Like, if you go and you check the actual ingredients in a lot of their delicious smoothies, those aren't going to actually end up being incredibly healthy for you. Whereas if I'm at home, and it's just not as fun if I go and I use like almond milk and some frozen fruit and protein powder. Just those little things where you go and you make that. That's why there's this appearance of healthy with things like that that look good. And hey, look at this. It's green. That's going to be great for you.
Exactly.
But then you dive deeper into it. And the reason they make it good is because they give it, you know, 50 pounds of sugar. I don't know. Just awful.
Yeah.
But I love, too, that Wally has, and we say he's got to do a diet, how he can do a diet. So it's the I didn't diet, which involves him eating what he wants, but just not eating all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that could mean eating all the fries except for one, but it's still the I didn't diet.
Exactly.
And two.
Baby steps.
It's the metric of success.
I love that he allows himself one coffee, a Dunkin' coffee, which is probably a lot of calories, a lot of sugar. He also lets available for himself one Coke, okay?
Because you can't just stop cold turkey.
Oh, yeah. And a Coke, I'm imagining, isn't just a can.
No, it's a...
It's got to be the large McDonald's.
Yeah, with one refill.
But it also, those coffees and those Cokes cannot be on the cheat day, correct? Because you also have a cheat day.
On Saturday, yeah. And sometimes Sunday.
So you have one cheat day where you can probably drink whatever you want because it's a cheat day.
Yeah.
But then on non-cheat days, you still are available one coffee and one Coke.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just throughout the week.
In Wally math, that works.
It works 100%. I've already lost some weight, and so...
How much have you lost? Two?
Two. Right. I feel better. That was only 4 days, and I feel better today, this week. Yeah.
Well,
so I don't want to undo it.
I will say, too, that when I posted those, given I think those were taken a while back, but those videos where you were surfing on the cruise ship, so many people were like, you look so thin. You look great.
Yeah.
And then other people that I posted a photo of you in a Kohl's dressing room when you had some drip.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were like, you look so thin. Have you been on a diet?
I don't understand what has happened because I actually was the heaviest I've been. I was at Publix the other day and this guy, Ryan, who works there, nice guy. I always talk to him.
Because you're always there.
I know. Yeah, because I'm always in the candy aisle. It's weird. but no, he goes, hey, man, have you lost weight? I've had more people ask me if I lost weight before I lost weight. And I know I wasn't bigger than this before. So, like, is my body storing my fat differently where it looks different? Or what? I have no idea because I'm like, no, I have not lost weight. You know.
Well, your legs are really skinny.
Yeah, maybe so. And the skinny jeans help with that. Like that meme of that dog, like the tiny dog standing up.
Oh, yes.
I love so much.
When that came out, so many people said that. I mean, like for a year at least.
Oh, speaking of dogs, here's a headline you won't hear in the United States. The place is Seoul, South Korea. Seoul, South Korea's National Assembly unanimously passed a bill to ban eating and selling dog meat on Tuesday.
Ew.
You know
just
how we always make
eating.
Dog meat. You know how we always make jokes about it, and people are like, "You're so horrible. You're just being a stereotype, and you're racist if you make a joke about like a Korean restaurant serving dog." It's like, no. It's based in truth. Mm. This is something they have been doing, and to the point where they have to legislate not doing it anymore. You definitely have a problem.
That South or North Korea?
South. And North Korea, you would think would be even worse.
Yeah.
But violators will face two penalties, 3 years of imprisonment or 3 million Korean won, which is about $2,300.
I wonder what made them change their mind.
It's interesting because I think from the little bit I read, it's like they're having a little bit of a resurgence or a surgence of because in other countries, animals are disposable. They're not pets. Mm-hmm. They are for a purpose, most right. of them, you know? And so they view them very differently than we do. Mm-hmm. And so this article had talked about Korea is a rapidly changing into a society that cares about animal welfare and believe it's time for the government to resolve the problem of dog consumption. Oh, so bad.
Sad.
So bad. But again, like, so, I mean, it's based in truth and it's based in reality. A little bit more from that door that fell off that plane. My wife was watching this video too the other day, and we have to fly soon. And I'm like, "You gonna be okay?" She's like, "I'm good."
You'll want to sit in the exit row, and she'll be like, "No,
no, yeah." I think her exit row days are gone. But I'm like, "I'll see you when we land." It turns out that after this door, the emergency door, they call it a door plug. After it blew out of the plane at 16,000 feet, no one was injured. No one got sucked out of the plane. A couple phones, a T-shirt.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I know, for sure. But that was a 737 MAX, the Boeing plane. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, was that the plane that had the problems with the tail rudder problem that crashed and killed two planes crashed?
18 and 19 when yeah. those happened, like Thailand and yes. somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think it was a 737 MAX. I don't know so. If it's the same version because this is the MAX 9. But they ordered all those planes grounded to check what is going on.
That's a lot of planes.
That is a lot of
that's
planes.
That's a disturbance of flights.
At least 200 MAX 9 wow. flights on Monday were canceled. And this was like all airlines too, not just Alaska Air, like United pulled theirs, and they found loose bolts on that door plug. And so they're like, so let's tighten these down. And so now what the National Transportation Safety Board is looking at is, was there a problem in the assembly line where the bolts were torqued to the wrong spec? Are they backing out? Were they, you know, never tightened properly, you know, kind of thing? So they're looking at the actual assembly to see if they have to go back and retrofit or do something like that. But it was just crazy that, I mean, thank goodness, like if you were on that assembly line and you knew you were making those things and say you were tweaking the bolts to what you were told, because everything has, in the airline industry, everything has a criteria. Like the bolts that go in have to be torqued to a certain standard and things like that. And so if you're doing what you're told to do, but then it were to blow out and have one of these kids or multiple people killed as a result of it, that would be horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, so thank the Lord there wasn't a crash from this or a problem, and that hopefully they can get it figured out before my wife has to get on one of these planes. I will never tell her that we're on a 737 MAX. I would never tell her that. Because you can look at what kind of plane you're on to see the seating arrangement. Mm-hmm. And from now on, I will do it. And I hate that too, because I have Boeing stock, and so when Boeing takes a hit, it's like my retirement goes down, because her dad worked there, and so when he passed away, a lot of his Boeing stock came to us, and so it's like, oh boy, come on, Boeing.
He wasn't in charge of the
bolts. No, it was interesting when he worked for NASA. He was a payload engineer for the space shuttles, which was kind of cool, and so he had like final say on things going on the payload. Parts of the shuttles.
That's
cool.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of a neat job. Lady Rock, what do you got?
Gen Zers. A lot of people are seeing problems in them when it comes to job interviews.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be super positive and find a positive spin on the Gen Zers, because I know I can be a little bit negative towards them. And so I am going to try to, with whatever you say in this article, find something positive to say about it.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to give you your first challenge.
Okay.
They surveyed about 800 U.S. managers and executives involving hiring.
Okay.
And the majority of them said they would favor an older employee than a college graduate, Gen Zer, because they aren't prepared.
Oh, well, that's because they've been working on other things that are preparing them for a healthier, happier personal life. And so they have prioritized things that are less work-related to be a well-rounded human being.
Oh, I like this side. Okay.
I want to vomit.
Well, in fact, 1 in 5 employers have had a recent college graduate, a Gen Zer, bring a parent to a job interview. 1 in 5.
It's interesting.
The reason they do this is to show their commitment to family, which will translate in commitment to the job because they are so connected to people that they cannot be alone and they want to make sure that the employer sees that as a positive.
Okay. If your daughter gave you a call and she said,
Daddy.
And she's like, I need you to come in. There's an interview that I really want to go do.
Yeah.
Could you come with me?
Okay.
For moral
but then you
support.
Get there and she's like, well, no, I need you to walk into the room with me. I want you to say hi to the interviewer.
Yeah, absolutely not. I have gone on interviews, or not interviews. She does auditions. I've been with her at auditions because I took her there when she was younger and stuff like that. And I would give her advice as to what to do when she went in there. But that's where it ends. Like, I would not do that. I would not go in her stead or as moral support.
Would we claim that though as the same thing? Like, if they need a parent to come with them to a job interview, and yes, they stay out in the lobby area and they don't go into the interview, isn't that the same thing?
Oh, no. I pictured this person as in the interview with them when you said that.
Yeah. Does it clarify that at all?
It doesn't.
I'd be curious.
It says they bring a parent to a job interview.
To me, I read that as like they're in it with them. Like, hey, this is my mom. Just thought you'd like to meet her. Helen, say hi to Mr. Rick.
That'd be hard to believe, but even
if nothing this generation does surprises me. Okay, I'm out.
Even if, like, I would say it looks just as bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's someone sitting in the lobby with them and you're like, oh, and they're like, oh, I'd like to introduce you to my mom. She just drove me here.
Like,
because you need someone for emotional support on your way back.
Say we were hiring for Gavin's job, mm-hmm. and we were like, okay, well, come on in. And somebody said, hey, it's my mom. Oh, I would think that is super weird. I would not be like, oh, I'm impressed by that. They don't care what people think. They brought their mom with them. It would send up so many red flags to me. Now, if their mom drove them and sat in the car, because mm-hmm. they don't have a car or something like that, I'd ask that question. Well, why'd your mom bring you? Do you not have a car to get here to work? I need to know you can get to work. But like, oh no, we're going to go here and then we're going shopping to lunch or whatever. Fine. Don't care. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if she was integral in that plan, like that would be a problem.
Well, let's keep with the positivity.
I don't like the positivity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So according to a lot of these employers, Gen Zers struggle when it comes to interviews, struggle with eye contact.
Mm, I can see that because they're so humble.
Because they're humble. Okay.
They're humble.
Others say that they ask for unreasonable compensation.
Really? What is unreasonable?
That
define
is
unreasonable.
Odd to me. I will say that, like, you... It is all on you for what you go and what you pursue. I'm going to choose to go pursue a job in Nashville where it is kind of expensive to live as compared to other cities. But I wouldn't have walked in here and gone, hey, yeah, I would love for this job to give me
$5,000.
But if you had a degree in it and you are $50,000 in debt...
I definitely think there are people that have a very unrealistic view of what their worth is, especially starting out. When you're starting out, man, you need the experience and you got to suffer and you got, you know, and mm-hmm. there are people that will disagree. No, I've got a degree and I did. So did I. And I made nothing when I first started and I did everything, you know, mm-hmm. and that's where I learned to be better at my job. I learned resilience, you know.
But so what if the Gen Zer is there with their parent because they aren't going to get compensated for as much as they need to keep up with the economy, so they're living with their mom and dad, and they don't have enough money to make a car payment. But they're working from the ground up.
Sure, but I mean, you're going to take what the job offers, you know.
But their mom is there.
Don't care. Like if you come in and you say, well, I know the job pays $30,000, but... here's what I can do. I want 50. Because, I mean, I think that these conversations happen. Or like people are like, oh, I thought the job was going to pay 75. I think they're unrealistic mm-hmm. in what money actually is worth. Mm-hmm. And I think versus what they are worth. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a disconnect in that for people. I think you see this with a lot of younger generation wanting to start at higher levels, higher pay. I should mm-hmm. just get this. I watched a YouTube video. I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you just... you don't.
Whereas like someone like you who has gone from, you know, job to job and has worked in successful places, if you were to go somewhere new, you would have an idea of what you're worth, what your
Absolutely.
Job's worth in the industry. And if they, you know, gave you a number and you're like, oh, that is definitely lower than what like I right. should be paid based on the time I've sure. put into this industry and what I've been paid in the past. Like
I wouldn't take the job.
You've earned that right. because that's and yeah, maybe you just don't take the I job. Take the they're job. Not gonna jump the price. But yeah, if you're a 22-year-old right. who's just like, I want more money.
Right. Like, see, I wouldn't take lame. The job, or I'm smart enough to know, like, let's say that I wanted to switch formats, and I've been in this Christian format for 16 years, and I did a lot of radio before this. Half my first career was it. But let's say I wanted to go to country. I know that I'm not going to go get a giant country job right out of the gate. Not going to happen. You don't have the cred in that world. Mm-hmm. See, and that's the difference between me and maybe somebody that is less self-aware. I realize, even with all my experience, I'm coming into your world now, and you don't care about what I've done. And so I have to earn that. So what I would do is structure a deal where I get compensated really well if I deliver, you know, mm-hmm. and because then that makes it, you know, to them, hey, if you're delivering more, sure, we'll compensate you more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm smart enough to set up a deal like that so there is an upside for me, but it's based on my performance, you know, that I have to bring it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's experience and confidence. You know, I'm confident in what I can do and what I can bring to the table, so I'm willing to put that on the line and not just expect you to give it to me. I'm going to earn it from you.
A couple of other things that employers have noticed is Gen Zers dress inappropriately for the office. Mm. They also use inappropriate language. Mm. They come off as being entitled. They get offended easily.
Those are the two big ones to me. Like dress, sure. Like everybody dresses a little bit differently and things. Mm-hmm. Workplaces have gotten more casual and it depends on your industry. Like Betty Rock's wearing a hoodie and a t-shirt and a ball cap. I've got I have a nice sweater on today. but like normally, I mean, it's a t-shirt and whatever. Like we don't work in an industry where you have to dress up and
Thank goodness.
Thankful. Yeah. Yep. And there's not an expectation of that.
But when you're working in an office, like right. a law firm.
Oh,
I would dress up.
There's an expectation.
When I was in radio sales, I wore suspenders and shirts, like dress shirts and suits and stuff, man.
I'd say even if you're someone who's working in retail, if someone walks in and I'm just sitting there in my pajamas and a baggy hoodie and I look like I should be on a couch, just don't look like you should be on a couch.
Right. What were the last two? Entitlement
and getting offended easily.
Yeah, those are the two big ones. I think those are the two. If you were to describe that generation of what people's biggest problem with Gen Z is, I think those are the two biggest things. That and work ethic.
That was the last one too.
Oh, was
lack
it? Okay.
Lack work ethic and motivation.
Yeah, I think those are the three biggest disconnects where different generations see things differently. And so where I see a lack of work ethic, they see a healthy work-life balance, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's one you can kind of navigate. Entitlement is really tough to navigate for mm-hmm. me especially. I have a huge problem with that. And so I don't function well with people who come off even the slightest bit entitled mm-hmm. and it's not going to work, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff. And so for me, like I would tell anybody that's Gen Z is like, you still have Gen X that are calling the shots right now, you know, and you still have some boomers too, you know, and even some millennials. And so you have to make yourself marketable in that environment. By sometimes maybe you expect everyone to cater to you and your feelings and what you want, but and as a boss, you're supposed to be malleable to be something to all your employees. But there's an onus too on the employee to also be malleable and to fit into the culture that exists in the place you're going to, and to like be a little bit different. You know, I challenged Gavin one time years ago when he got here. I'm like, my job is to make you better than your generation. Like, and it's like, I want to instill in you some of the things that I know have worked over time for me and will work for you. And so if you can find a way as a Gen Zer to not just placate, but actually find a balance and a little bit of, not compensation, cooperate. I can't think of the word right now. But bend a little bit mm-hmm. to fit some of the expectations of your different generation to boss, you're going to do better. Mm-hmm. You're like, but if you fight them and you just demand for your, you know, thing, you're going to come off as entitled and no one's going to help you, mm-hmm. you know? And
well, so it's just like showing up, but showing up here, it didn't come here and say, you know, I work for me, or Way right. FM works for me.
Right.
You know, show up, I work for Way FM.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what some kids go in and they do think that they are the entity that is the most important in
that. Well,
because
their parents told them they were.
Maybe.
and it does them a disservice. You know, if you want to blame anybody inside of the generation, if you want to complain about it, a part of it falls on the parents, you know, and what we as parents, how we raised our kids, what we allowed, what we told them, you know, and we kind of made them partly who they are. Now, their environment changed a lot of that as well. Teachers, all that kind of stuff. But you can't look at, I can't say that my daughter's not a product of me, good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's, like I pampered her too much. Like I didn't make her do a bunch of chores. I know, I didn't make her do a bunch of chores at home. I probably should have. You know, she has a stellar work ethic, like where she's at. She always rises to the top of whatever she's, where she's at. But boy, she comes home and doesn't want to do anything, you know?
I get that.
And yeah. And so for me, it's like, no, I want you to put in at home too, you know? But so that's my fault.
And put it like at home in what sense? In the...
I should have made her do chores to help out and things like that. And I, like when she was younger, you know, her mom and I would be doing things and she, it wasn't in her nature to just go, hey, do you guys need a hand? She wasn't that kid. You know, and then I would get mad at her for not being that kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we didn't require it. Had we required it, it would have became habit. Like we have some friends of ours. They have three girls that range from 19 to 15. Mm-hmm. And they're all great kids, but they've made their kids work their whole lives. You know, since they were young, they had little businesses they started. They were always expected to volunteer with them. Mm-hmm. And so they set that tone, and so when they see somebody that needs help, they just instantly help, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was the parents doing a really good job with their kids. And I think if I could go back and change anything in my parenting, that is the one, that's probably the biggest thing I would change.
Make her get up and do something. Yeah.
That's right.
Do get more out there at the house. And mow the lawn.
That's right. Mow the lawn.
Home is a great place to establish and construct the foundation of like responsibility and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember, you know, back in the day, my parents gave us an allowance for doing chores, which I, you know, I think that I get parents who don't do allowances because you should be helping around the house. This is your house too. But then my parents gave us a small, I think, $25 a month, where I remember those days in my head saying like, $25, that is huge.
Yeah.
I'm gonna crush these
chores.
This
is where I sound like an old man. I got a nickel for every year old we were.
Sure.
So like if you were six, you got 30 cents.
What could that get you?
Nothing. Exactly. Even back
you
then,
better
nothing.
Save those nickels.
My parents were the type that you don't get an allowance.
Sure.
Like okay, you just had to.
Yeah, you just had to.
I get that.
It.
Yeah. It's your home.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like everybody judges parenting. Everybody has a different style and everybody's kids are different. They respond to things differently and there's no be all end all rule book for it. You know, mm-hmm. you just have to slug through it and figure it out.
Zaddy.
I know.
I want the perfect wedding.
Oh.
You don't understand me.
I love your imitation of her, but you know her well and she's not like that.
No. But Zaddy.
Yeah, but it is a really good impersonation.
It's a great character. It's the character
it is
from
a good
Parks
character.
And Rec. Like it's
yes,
the
yes.
Money, please.
Yeah.
Money, please.
Yeah.
I got barred in the car, so I burned it down. Money, please.
All right. Do you have some birthdays?
Nope.
All right. Oh. Then that is going to do it for your aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.